We're going to be talking about the Mount Ashland ski area with General Manager Hiram Toll about not only what's going on at the mountain now, but where things are going off in the future. Hiram, thanks for joining us today once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, Jeff.
So if it should snow now, we're still planning on that, I guess. Are you basically starting from scratch now if you're going to return to the mountain that's been closed for the better part of, what, 3 weeks now?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we're going to be starting quite from scratch. We still do have some base up there. There's areas where there is dirt showing, but the bottom of the mountain today, as reported back, that we got about 8 inches down there, and the last check up top was in the 30-inch range. So, you know, there's still some snow to start working with as soon as Mother Nature abides. You know, we're still fully staffed and ready to go when the snow arrives.
The recent layoffs that were announced, there was this discussion of laying off core staff as well. There are still apparently five of you on the payroll daily still?
Yes, that's right. And the intention is to bring back those core staff members. I mean, we have a lot of people, about 139 that are on payroll that, excuse me, would work, you know, as the snow allows and as the business allows. But we had about 15 of us that are there most of the time, you know, as we're getting ready to open. And it was that core staff that got impacted through that last round of layoffs.
One of the major reasons we went into here today is to talk not just about what's happening with this particular ski season, which is certainly having its bumps along the way, but with what might be happening down the road, a discussion of other revenue streams that apparently happen not only among staff but also with the board as well. And what kinds of discussions have you been having?
Yeah, I'm glad that you're bringing that up because, you know, there was a story picked up after our board meeting that we're looking at some other revenue opportunities, ones that don't rely on snow. And the fact is we've been looking at that for quite a long time, and the mountain has been doing that, in fact, for quite a long time. We do offer summer weddings and events up at the mountain. So we'd be looking to enhance those types of things immediately because we already have kind of built-in infrastructure and amenities like having a, you know, bar on site and food and beverage. So, you know, those are things that we'll look to simply enhance. But we're also looking at other revenue-generating opportunities, some, you know, adventure-based, you know, holistic natural activities that can happen at the mountain that kind of fit what the mountain's all about.
Holistic natural activities like what?
Well, some of the things that have been discussed and in fact been supported by comments from the community in our survey that we've done and letters that we've received. But things like zip lines, people have asked about mountain biking and, you know, rock climbing walls, things like that. There was a change back in 2011, the Ski Area Recreational Opportunity Enhancement Act. You know, change some of the opportunities that are available for ski areas on Forest Service land to come up with some of these other ideas to operate throughout the summer. And Mount Ashland Association recognized a long time ago that these are things that they're going to have to look to take advantage of and, you know, to make it a more viable year-round business.
I have to believe that the Ski Area Recreation Enhancement Act was, that's a congressional legislation then, right?
Yeah, that's 2011.
All right, so we're talking about a Forest Service. So which brings up the larger question, I guess, is how usual or unusual is the arrangement at Mount Ashland where you've got Forest Service land but a lease going on or a permit?
There's actually about 211 different mountains across the country that operate on Forest Service land. And so, yeah, it's not unusual. And a lot of them are looking to seek these other opportunities. And, in fact, many ski areas across the country are seeing that as a way to you know, if you have a business that only runs four months out of the year, as we do, and we have a 12-month lease, you know, it just makes sense that you use that asset, you know, to provide, you know, some sort of access to the alpine environment to our guests as many months out of the year as you can.
Hiram Toll is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the general manager at the Mount Ashland ski area, currently closed, awaiting snow, but also talking about the future as well. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join us, or jx@jeffnet.org. Would there be a need to do some modification to the permit to be able to do some of the activities you're talking about?
Well, we do have to present a proposal to the Forest Service. We're thinking of this in terms of having probably a phased approach where we'd look at, you know, just like I said, enhancing the things that we currently have that we have the opportunity to do right now. And then as we move into things that would require, you know, any kind of build out or things like that, we would definitely have to be working on under the NEPA process and go through that entire process with the Forest Service.
Now, some of the things, I mean, when I think about zip lines, I think about stuff like mountain bike rentals. These sounds like fairly overhead heavy kinds of things where you'd have to make a pretty good investment up front to be able to begin to realize revenue on the back end.
Yeah, and that's why the phased approach would start with things that would require less capital expenditure on the front end.
And have you penciled out the investment and break-even point on some of these?
We have. We've begun creating some different scenarios on how that might look. It's just important to point out that this, you know, is really in the initial stages where we're working with the board of directors to and with the community to decide what will be appropriate to have up there and of course, what makes financial sense and, what fits for the Rogue Valley.
We did have one of the board members up here, I think just a matter of weeks before you were hired, talking about very similar stuff. So,
yeah, it was Daryl Jarvis, yeah.
Mm-hmm, we know it's been in the works for a while. Let's take a phone call here. We have Bill in Medford on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Hiram Toll from the Mount Ashland Ski Area.
Good morning. I have a lot of empathy for what you're trying to do. Of course, you're trying to right a sinking ship, but I really have serious question about borrowing $8,000 in order to keep a very questionable operation going. It's kind of like borrowing in order to get out of debt, and I really question the wisdom, of course, of the small, what is it called, the small business.
You're talking about the disaster loan? Yeah.
To even make such a loan.
Mm-hmm. And it was actually $750,000, wasn't it, Hiram?
That's correct.
All right, let's pick it. Bill, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. So was there any, I guess the question needs to be asked, is whether there was ever any discussion among the board like that we even want to continue to do this. You know, we want to take this loan and try again, or do we want to just fold up shop and say that's not going to happen?
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt that we were, willing to carry on because this is a great asset for the Rogue Valley. And, you know, it's been through its ups and downs before. Last year's year of no snow was certainly one of the largest challenges that they have undertaken. But that disaster loan is, it's long term, it's very low interest, and the payments are reasonable and they're budgeted in right now. So, it's part of the plan to carry this operation forward. And the board is absolutely committed to providing, these recreational opportunities on that mountain for generations to come. You know, and we're just having to flex with the changes in weather, and we're having to check, flex with the changes in what people want out there, and that includes some of these summer opportunities.
And what is the period of the disaster loan? How long a period does it have to be repaid?
I believe it is 30 years, and it's low interest, and we have the payments are in our budget right now. And
I imagine there are some restrictions on it, though. When you're talking about a disaster loan for something like a ski area not getting snow, this you probably can't use that money for stuff like building zip lines or buying mountain bikes for rentals or things like that.
Yeah, a lot of that money was used to pay down debt, so that we'd be in a better position to carry forward. And, the money that is in the bank is being used for operations. The monies that we would seek to do some of this zip lines or whatever we happen to do in the future would be done through grant writing and looking to donors and looking out to the community to help us to put that together.
So what are the steps that have to happen now before a commitment is made? Is one of them that you really need to get a few more days of skiing in this year to be able to get some revenue in?
Oh, we fully intend to have more ski days. I mean, we get 2.5 more months left in the season, and, this is not an unusual weather pattern. It does get dry and warm sometimes in January. The difference this year is that we didn't have enough snowpack really to carry through that lean time. But, we intend to be ready to hit the go button as soon as Mother Nature abides, and people can count on us to do that. And, in terms of this, process of moving into summer, again, initial stage is really just trying to pencil out what's, what makes sense financially and what makes sense for what fits the Rogue Valley and what they would want for activities up there.
Is there, I imagine there'd be, if the board has to be the group of people that has to make the decision, there'd probably be a certain level of, I couldn't blame them for feeling a little weak in the knees about trying to make a decision to take on additional financial obligations when you got some issues with the core one at the moment.
Yeah, no, it would have to pencil out, and that's why we're doing the work now to make sure that that's viable. A lot of ski areas have done this, and the one that I had experience with, the payback on some of the things that we did were as little as 6 weeks. So it's something that we believe would enhance the experience in the summer here. There's a lot of opportunity between the Shakespeare Festival and the rivers and other things like that, but this just adds one more of those things. And we happen to have a naturally beautiful environment up there. It's often 20 degrees cooler up there than it is here on the valley floor, so we just see it as something that's a draw. We see people come in and out of that parking lot all day long to do mountain biking, to come up to do sightseeing, so we just want to try to enhance their visit and offer them things to do.
So at this point, is the pressure on the staff that it's up to you guys to make the move to then propose to the board what happens, and then you talk about getting the Forest Service involved, the request for a permit extension, et cetera?
Yeah, we're working in concert with the board. I mean, we meet with them, weekly at For example, finance committee meetings happen weekly now, and so we're working with them very closely to make sure that we work together on this proposal for the Forest Service to come up with an idea of what we can do in the short term, and then of course that phasing, the idea of doing things long term for some from larger opportunities that might be out there.
I understand from reports that came out of that most recent board meeting that you did investigate the cost of snowmaking equipment for Mount Ashland.
I believe some studies have been done in the past, not since I've arrived here, but yeah, basically looking at what the opportunities are to find water, really, which is the thing that keeps us from being able to do it at this point. Yeah, in terms of the cost analysis and things, I think it's just one of those, if you can't get past the first step, which is finding the water to make the snow, you know, not much hope there to implement that.
Even if you had the water, it hasn't really been cold enough, has it? I mean Mount Shasta has not been able to open for very similar reasons.
Oh, sure. No, we have days up there where the temps have absolutely been good snowmaking temperatures. You know, it drops down in the night. You know, unless we have an inversion going on, we've seen temps get down below freezing that, you know, there would have been windows of opportunity to turn on right.
So the game right now for this winter is just waiting for a storm and hoping this weekend might deliver one?
We're looking at about a week to 2 weeks out for weather right now, and you know, communicating that to stakeholders, communicating that to employees. But we continue to look at the weather daily. I mean, it changes daily, so something we got to keep an eye on.
All right. Well, not a lot of people envy you at the moment, but they sure hope to see you back in business pretty soon.
Yeah, thanks.